All right, everybody, welcome to the WWE Podcast official SummerSlam preview and prediction show. And what would a prediction show be without Ashley Mann, longtime co-host of the show, to join us with her thoughts and predictions about WWE SummerSlam, as well as her in-person trip that she will be making to Chicago tomorrow night for AEW Rampage. So get ready. Everything starts right now.
This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
The champ is
the one that everybody wants. Me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Playmore.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
This is my idol.
You're gonna acknowledge me.
All right, everybody, welcome to your official SummerSlam preview and prediction show. Man, I can't wait to get to this. Ashley and I, as always, have such good conversations together, and this was no exception at all. She's been such a long-standing co-host. It's always just such a great time with her. You know, I'd love to get her on more if her schedule would allow, but we'll see what's going on. All right. Before we get to Ashley, very, very quickly, I'd like to give a shout-out to the latest patron on patreon.com /WWE podcast, Alex Prinz, who has just joined and will be getting a link to the Discord server so we can all chat during the pay-per-view. It's going to be so much fun. And actually, it was suggested to me by another patron earlier today by Miller, who was wondering if we could just do a Zoom and all watch each other on video and react to each other in real time. That is a good idea. And you know what? After SummerSlam, I think that that may be something that we do is get on Zoom and do like a multi, like a big, you know, team call, if you will, except wrestling. It's not work related, you know, so it's nice to be able to use Zoom recreationally and not just for our virtual meetings that we've all been going to for the last, you know, year and a half. But that's a damn good idea. And I think I'll implement that after SummerSlam and maybe keep the Discord server going nonetheless. All right. Well, also, I'd like to invite you to go ad-free during this SummerSlam weekend and the CM Punk return, the just earth-shattering return that is scheduled and heavily rumored. I shouldn't say is official or advertised, but heavily, heavily rumored and expected to happen tomorrow night on AEW. You're going to want to stay right here for your latest coverage and reaction, and maybe even yours truly will be weighing in on this. I normally don't weigh in on anything AEW, but with this being such a massive, massive moment in wrestling history, I can't not weigh in selfishly. But I'm sure Mimi will also do an excellent job covering it. And, you know, it's gonna be a hell of a moment. And Ashley actually is going to be in person in Chicago. So we talked to Ashley about that right at the front of our conversation. So let's just get to that. If you want to go ad-free, though, head on over to Patreon and join us there, or go over to Apple Podcasts. There's an ad-free button right there. Join us, and you can get everything ad-free. And it's easier to listen to during SummerSlam with all of our content than constantly having to skip through ads or sighing when another ad comes on or rolling your eyes, whatever the case may be. Ads are annoying. I get it. But they keep the lights on here, and you have an option to avoid them. So, all right, everybody, I'm excited for SummerSlam. This will be my final show until my post show with the botch guy for SummerSlam, unless, of course, I decide to weigh in with a massive night projected to come tomorrow night with AEW Rampage. All right, everybody. As always, thanks so much for listening. Here comes Ashley and myself. I will talk to you next time. All right. As is customary with our preview and prediction shows for pay-per-views, Ashley Mann joins us tonight to talk about SummerSlam, about the potential returns, about the big matchups, some potentially fan-infuriating outcomes tomorrow night, or rather Saturday night at SummerSlam. But before we get there, first of all, Ashley, welcome to the show. How you doing? And we're going to talk about AEW in just a second.
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. And it wouldn't be a preview show without us together, right? It's just how everything works out. And I'm excited to talk SummerSlam. But yes, AEW tomorrow night is a whole other topic.
It is. And the reason, guys, that we're bringing this up, and it is a SummerSlam preview and prediction show. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But the reason I'm bringing this up with AEW Rampage tomorrow night in Chicago, with the heavily rumored and anticipated return of CM Punk, who is going to break the internet single-handedly on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. The ratings are probably going to spike. I would venture to guess maybe even 50 to 60% or more, depending on what happens and obviously what he does when he comes back. But the reason I'm bringing that all up is because we have Ashley going to this show, rearranging her life, and going to Chicago in true wrestling fan fashion to be there live. Ashley, we are all, I can say for all of us, we are jealous.
Oh, dude, and like I was just telling you, like, I toyed with myself for days on, is it responsible? Should I do it? Save the money, you know, because I'm moving and all that stuff. So, man, but at the end of the day, like you said, we're wrestling fans, and I had more pros than cons to go, right? And I just told myself, you know what, like we were just saying, like, this is literally, and we'll get to the what if in a second, but this is literally the only chance that this could happen. It's like the stars just aligned. So once I saw that, you know, tickets weren't outrageous, thank you to AEW for not, you know, just like gouging us with the ticket prices, but, and the travel worked out. So yeah, dude, even though it's just a technically an hour show, like I said, I think they're going to do some type of pre-taping with one of the YouTube shows. So it should be a decent time there. I think we'll probably be there like 2 to 3 hours. But of course, dude, CM Punk, if he is not there, Matt, I will lose my, you know what, of course, everyone else in Chicago as well. But like we were saying, there's a little darkness inside of me that kind of like morbidly wants to see what happens if he does it. But man, like I will lose it. And like we were saying, there's so many signs pointing to him, of course, showing up. But what if he doesn't, Matt? What if he doesn't?
If he doesn't, I mean, you're not just going to have AEW fans disappointed. You're going to have wrestling fans of all genres and all promotions, I think, very disappointed in AEW. I think this would be really bad business for AEW. The fans in attendance, I would fear for my safety there. I mean, I think you're going to have dare I say the trigger word, a full scale riot. I mean, it would be a hell of a sight to see, scary probably, and fans chanting, you know, who knows what. So it would be, like you said, that dark side of us, it would be a hell of a sight. But I'd still rather experience the opposite, where the fans, like, I mean, explode in a way. And the only way I can imagine what the pop is going to be is I described this on my show last night, is if Stone Cold were to come back to have one more match. You know, I can't imagine any other pop like what he's going to get in Chicago. So assuming that dark scenario does not happen, and AEW is smart enough to realize it would be awful for business, not just awful for TV, but just disappointing on a whole nother level, is on the flip side, what do you think that pop is going to be like?
Oh my gosh. I honestly can't even imagine. I went back earlier and watched a YouTube clip of his entrance in the 2011 Money in the Bank. I'm pretty sure I told you. I think I did. His entrance in Chicago at that match. And everyone knew he was going to be there, obviously. Like, it was in the main event. Like, we all knew the hype and build behind it and the story and everything. And to see the reaction and just the love that he got there when everyone was expecting him. And now to fast forward to tomorrow night. I'm just going to say he's going to be there. I'm just putting it in the universe. He's going to be there. He just... And because that's the thing, because like we're expecting him there, right? But we don't know when it's going to happen. We don't necessarily know exactly what to look for. Is it going to be right at the beginning of the show where they do the intro, the fireworks and all that good stuff? And then it kind of just gets silent for a moment. Everything goes black and then his music hits. Is it going to be something like that? Is it going to interrupt someone? Like, you just don't know. Or is it going to be at the very like last 10, 15 minutes? Like, how long do they give him? So I think that's what makes it that much better too. Like we don't really know. Like we don't know if it's going to be related to Darby Allin or Dean Ambrose, John Moxley, or who it's going to be related to, or MJF. So I think that kind of still gives it the surprise factor in and of itself, because even though we know he's going to be there, we don't know exactly when it's going to hit. And I think the place, like, it's just going to erupt. Like, I don't think you'll be able to hear music. Like, I just, it's going to be just a classic moment. And I can't wait to see there and be there. And just like, I can't even imagine, dude. I can't imagine.
And I know that since you'll be there live, you won't be able to hear Jim Ross or Tony Schiavone. I mean, hearing those two classic voices being able to call this moment is going to make it that much better. Of course, yes. You'll be able to watch it once you leave, and you can watch it on replay, of course. But, you know, being there live, you know, I've been there for a few special moments in my life for WWE. You know, I was there for when Stone Cold returned at the 25th anniversary and stunned Shane and stunned Vince in the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. You know, and those moments are just like, you talk about adrenaline, you talk about just pure emotion. There's nothing phony about it. And I think CM Punk is going to get a glass shattering, no pun intended, just earth shattering response. Even though most fans expected it, doesn't matter, because it's still not fully advertised. It is a guy that the people have been talking about for 8 years now since he left WWE. People dissect and analyze every word and every tweet that he puts out there to see if he's trying to tell us he's coming back. We finally got, quote, confirmation that he is going. He did sign with AEW, and it's in Chicago, his hometown. WWE just went through that place, and all they did was chant CM Punk the entire time during Monday Night Raw, which tells you that the fans know what the hell's up, and they know. And it's going to be a television moment that WWE is probably going to look at each other and go, damn it. I mean, they're going to be going head-to-head with SmackDown. I think SmackDown will get walloped in terms of ratings when CM Punk does debut. It's going to be one of those moments that we look back on and replay on YouTube just to make ourselves feel good when we're having a bad day.
Oh, yeah. And once he does show, now you can promote the hell out of him. Now it's all balls to the wall. Like, you can put him on posters. You can put him on commercials. Like, I would not be surprised to see a CM Punk commercial, like, with, you know, like their little Rampage commercial that they have. Do, like, an edit, have him in there, or make, like, a whole completely new commercial itself and throw it on SmackDown. Like, I don't think I've personally seen it myself, but, like, I would be surprised if they don't, because what better way? Because your SmackDown, obviously, is your largest wrestling audience at over 2 million a week. You're going to have your diehards there, and then your casuals probably trying to catch back up with, you know, SummerSlam being the hype, which we'll get to. And what better way to advertise AEW than having a familiar face, but then, oh, crap, he's not with WWE, he's with AEW, and then you're forced to check it out, and it's, you don't even have to do anything. It's an hour away, not even. So, man, once he actually returns, like, just the promotion and just the hype itself, and then we still have Daniel right around the corner, Bryan Danielson. So it's just it's such a great time to be a wrestling fan, if nothing else. Lucky, like, this is just how it's happening after the crappy year plus that we've all had. So what a way to pay it off.
From no fans to a silent basically garage that they worked in for a year, obviously no fault of their own, to this, it's exactly what you want. And yes, SummerSlam in front of 60,000 plus people at Allegiant Stadium, CM Punk tomorrow night. I mean, it is the complete reverse of where we were just a few months ago. But I do have to ask, do you think he'll come out to Cult of Personality, or do you think it'll be something different?
I think he has to. I think part of me thought that, and I'm slipping on the name of his previous song that he had before he had Cult of Personality, like back at the beginning of his indie days, but I'd heard somewhere else where they were thinking that maybe they could do like a small riff of that and then have that play off for like 30 seconds or something and then break into, you know, the Cult of Personality. But I think you just have to go straight Cult of Personality and just have that riff at the beginning and then just play it out. But that's why I'm like, how are they going to do it? Like, are they going to, because, you know, AEW loves turning the lights off, right? So is it going to be something like that where, like, you kind of, like, have that split second to get ready? Or is it just going to break out of nowhere? It's just, I think that's probably like the most exciting part too, is like, when is it actually going to happen? Like, because it's only an hour show too, so you have to stay glued, which is so smart if you think about it.
A 1 hour wrestling show, you talk about making sure you pay attention to everything. Whereas Raw, you know, you can tune out like 60% of it and still know what happened on the show.
I go to Walmart, get gas, come back, and Raw is still on. So I'm like, damn. It's just like the same thing, you know, it's just pro. I don't know. It's just a whole nother world.
It is. And, you know, I'm excited for you. I'm sure everyone listening is excited for you. In that very, very small chance it doesn't happen, I will be just putting my head in my hands saying, oh no.
You may need to bail me back out of jail. Like, I will lose my mind. Because of everything that we just talked about briefly, and then we'll move on to the main reason why we're here tonight. Yep. But they had so many opportunities to shoot this down from the beginning. The second the speculation got out there, Tony Khan could have been out there and been like, please don't get your hopes up. I don't know why that's out there. That's false. You know, that's not happening. He's not signed. Whether that, you know, would have been true or not, but at least, like, even if he didn't have it, like, I just hope, and I feel like he would have, because AEW has built up trust with their fan base. I feel like he would have been blunt with it. So if he wasn't and just kept building up to it and put this speculation out there and all this hype and labeled it literally the first dance when it's the second show, so why else would it be the first dance? I just feel like you should have shot it down if you're not going to bring him in. Or if the hype started and you were like, oh no, like, and that wasn't the plan, like, just do like a one or two night appearance, if anything else. But you've got to have him there at this point.
You do. It would be this, then we'll wrap up here and start on SummerSlam. Yeah. But it would be, I mean, you talk about shooting dead the trust and goodwill that you have, that you've built up over this last, almost two years, however long AEW's been in existence. You talk about killing that dead. There's no faster way to do that than to not have Punk show up tomorrow night. Because if Punk doesn't show up, and again, I don't think it'll happen, but if he doesn't, I mean, fans aren't going to trust the company again. Mm-hmm. I mean, this would be the biggest letdown in the history of professional wrestling, letdowns in terms of fans hoping something would happen. There's a lot of signs. The company's kind of given little hints. Punk himself has, all to just go flat. I mean, it would be an absolute disaster. So I do not think that'll happen.
Yeah.
And I think you're in for a hell of a night, a memorable night. So, but SummerSlam on the flip side of things is right around the corner, two nights on a Saturday. I don't honestly know the last time we had a Saturday pay-per-view. I know that people are saying, oh, WrestleMania. I'm talking about a single pay-per-view night where it was only Saturday night. I don't know. But it is Saturday night in Vegas, 60,000-plus people in attendance. I can't wait to see that large of a crowd. WWE has been saying that this is their WrestleMania this year. Miz even accidentally screwed up this week saying, you know, WrestleMania. It's not, obviously. But are you excited for SummerSlam overall before we get into the card here? Like, when you look at up and down, are you disappointed? Are you concerned? How do you feel as a whole about this card?
Yeah, you know, as a whole, I'm not going to say I'm excited. Like, I guess maybe I am slightly, and of course I'm going to watch it, but, like, I'm not, like, overly like excited, and I'm not like, oh, I can't wait, like, you know, I have to make sure like I'm done this and this before, like, I'm just like, oh yeah, SummerSlam is this weekend. I almost completely forgot that it was on this coming weekend. Like, it just like came up out of nowhere, it feels like. But I think it's going to be one of those shows where we say like the hype could have been a little bit better, and the stories going into it could have been a little bit stronger, or maybe just a little bit, I don't know, they could have delved into things a little bit deeper, like, for instance, like with Roman and Cena, which we'll get into later. But I think it's going to be one of those shows where we say that, but then, like, the card and the pay-per-view itself ends up really strong. And, of course, it's going to be in front of, like, 40,000-plus people in Vegas. So I think it's going to be a really fun and exciting show once we actually get there. But I'm just kind of, like, not really in that mode, and I feel kind of weird about it. What about you? We're so close.
Well, at the same time, you have AEW to look forward to, which is infinitely more exciting.
And I feel
with
kind
Punk.
Of biased, you know, like it's not fair. So there's that.
I mean, you have some of your excitement and energy going towards tomorrow night in Chicago. With that said, you know, I look up and down this card. There are currently 10 matches. Of course, they could add more. They do sometimes last minute on the pre-show or on Twitter or whatever. There are currently 10 matches, which is about what I expect for a pay-per-view of this size, and probably go about 4 hours or so. But, you know, I look up and down, and Roman and Cena is interesting. It's the main event. Goldberg and Lashley, I'm not excited for, really for any reason. No matter what the outcome is, we'll get to that. You know, Edge and Rollins, I'm really excited for, actually. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. Drew McIntyre and Jinder Mahal, I mean, I'm glad Drew is out of the title picture. That's the best thing about this match. And, you know, it's as good as they could have done with their current card. I mean, I got to give them that. Like, when I look up and down and I'm like, all right, with who's currently on the roster, I understand the matches that are here, and I don't know if I could have really improved it significantly. I mean, there's tweaks here and there, but I don't know, as far as your main events go. You have, I mean, I wouldn't have put Goldberg there, but I know why they did it, so I understand from a business perspective. It's like I'm fairly excited. I would say like I'm one peg above you in terms of excitement. Like, I'm not overly excited. Yeah. I'm not down on it. I'm like, yeah, I'm excited. Like, I'm just generally excited about it. I'm interested to see the outcome.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And like you mentioned, I think I am clouded by tomorrow. And I think once tomorrow night, for me personally, of course, is done and over with, then I am looking forward to it, because it is cool to think that, you know, of course, we have AEW tomorrow, SummerSlam Saturday, and then we have NXT TakeOver on Sunday. So it's legit a whole weekend of wrestling. So it is kind of cool when you think about it in that way. And I'm sure, like, once Saturday actually comes, I'll be more excited then too. But I definitely don't think it's going to be a bad show at all. I think it's definitely going to be a solid show. And there's a lot of matches that I'm really looking forward to, like Sheamus and Damian Priest. I think that's going to be a sleeper. So I think it's going to be a really solid card, though, for sure. Well, in Vegas, I think it's going to be really, really exciting there, too.
That is true. I mean, I'm very interested to see what the makeup of the crowd is at the pay-per-view. Is it families? Is it mostly, you know, men, you know, 18 to 40, which is their typical demographic? Is it younger? Is it, like, what does it look like? Yeah. Because that's going to dictate how the fans react to certain things. And I'll get to that specifically with Nikki ASH a little bit later. But let's dive into the card here. We got 10 matches. Then I'll start from the bottom. Eva Marie versus Alexa Bliss with Doudrop here. Well, Ashley, take this one. What do you think about it?
We have to start with this one. Yeah, I'm not impressed. This is kind of what I was afraid of with Eva Marie coming back. I don't really know what I was expecting, but I think I was expecting a little bit more. But then this is kind of what she did in the beginning too. So I don't know. And with Alexa Bliss, like, I think there's just like a weird cloud over her with the whole Fiend situation and everything like that. It's just I'm just not here for this in particular. I'm kind of ready for this to be over with. And I kind of want to just focus on Doudrop and Eva Marie and just like have their storyline play out, even though I feel like it could have been dragged on for much longer. But I just kind of wanted to be focused on them and have Doudrop actually go to her real wrestling name, and then just go from there and just have the focus on that, and then see what we can do with Eva Marie going forward. And then, of course, have, I don't even know what you do with Alexa Bliss going for it after this, regardless of when this ends. Like, does she continue with this version of her character? Does she somehow revert back to her old self? It's just kind of a little bit of a mess, and it's just, I don't know. It's just weird.
What about, well, who you, wins?
Yeah, I'm going Eva Marie.
All right.
I hate to say it, but I just have a, because they brought her back. They put all this hype into her. They put all those video packages. Like, they really built her up, and they have the focus on her, and they like her for a reason, right? And then what better way for her to get her, I guess, first real big victory at SummerSlam, you know, and then just have that to brag and then go from there. But again, I'm not really that thrilled about this one and invested in this one. But yeah, I'm interested to see how it plays out, though, if nothing else.
Yeah, I'm interested. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'll be surprised if we even get an actual match, given Eva Marie's history, I mean, I could see this ending in like just a quick disqualification where fans just boo the hell out of this. I mean, Alexa Bliss is not as endearing to the fans as she once was. I think, like you said, she's feeling a little bit stale. Lily is not helping. You know, winking dolls don't help. She feels she's at a crossroads as well and a need for change. I'm not saying a 180 again, but just I don't know the solution. I'm not smart enough to know exactly what Alexa Bliss needs, but I do know, I can sense that she's at a crossroads. Same with Eva Marie, though. Eva Marie has yet to have an actual match, which if you're going to tell me that the heat seeking part of her personality is that she can't compete, or she doesn't, or she, you know, she's too afraid to, or she, you know, she just doesn't. That's her gimmick. I don't, you know, that's not heat seeking to me. That's eye rolling. Like, if you're not here to actually have a match once in a while, then you need to get the hell out. Like,
how is that okay with management? Then, yeah, like, what are you there to do?
Eye candy, right? I mean, okay. If she's just eye candy, then, you know, this isn't 2005 anymore. Like, we're way past that. So I think Eva Marie not wrestling and continuing to not wrestle, as it's supposed to be this, oh, fans are getting angry, we want to see somebody kick her ass. I don't feel that way. I feel apathetic. I feel just like she doesn't belong in the ring then. I feel like just get her off the card. She doesn't deserve to be here. And it's also kind of a unfortunate connection back to those times where women didn't really wrestle and they were just there for men to, you know, drool over. It's not my thing. It's certainly not, I think, most fans' thing to have Eva Marie represent that old school, if you will. So as far as the winner, honestly, I don't care. But that doesn't answer the question. I think I'll go with Alexa Bliss just to contrast you. I'll say Alexa Bliss wins this. I don't know how, but she does. And I want Doudrop to actually have some respect for herself and say, hey, yeah, by the way, my name's not Doudrop. It's Piper Niven or whatever. Like, right. Why is she sticking with a name? Like, it's not her mom. Like, you can't just assign a name and she's okay, I'll have to stick with that. Why?
And we still don't know their role together. None. Like, is Eva Marie paying her? Is she like a bodyguard type thing? Like, what? Like, give us something. Just nothing, something. Yeah. I don't even care what it is at this point. Just something, you know?
Yeah, right. Even if it's poorly put together, at least I'd say, okay, they tried, right?
Because she wasn't even in her video packages. Like, it was just Eva Marie, and then she just shows up with Piper Doudrop. Like, yeah, it's just...
And then doesn't give her a voice, and it's never explained why she's not able to speak. It's ridiculous. So
just say, I don't know. Yeah,
I don't know. That tells me they haven't even given it 2 seconds of thought. Because I could come up with something in a matter of like 30 seconds and be like, okay, at least just say this, you know, whatever. Like you said, she's paying her. Okay. You know, all right. So you have Eva, I have Alexa. Let's get to the next match here. A little bit more interesting for sure. Drew McIntyre versus Jinder Mahal, and Veer and Shanky are barred from ringside. I'll let you take this one once again.
Yeah, those names.
I know.
Veer and Shanky. It's just Shanky. I just feel weird saying Shanky. Like, I don't. It's just interesting. But yeah, I'm like we, I think, mentioned earlier, I'm happy Drew's out of the title picture for now and just kind of doing his own thing. And yeah, I wish there wasn't so much focus on the sword and just like other outside things. And it was just on their story and their history together. And because it's simple, like it would have just been basic, just focus on their history, their path together. Jinder could have said pretty much the same thing that Heath said that night, that Drew changed and Drew didn't check up on him or whatever, you know, and just gone from there. But I don't know. I think it's still going to be one of those matches. It's going to be a good, solid match. I don't think it's going to be as good as like Drew and Sheamus was, but I think it's still going to be pretty good. And I think not for nothing, like Jinder's going to want to prove himself, because this is going to be a big moment for him that he will, since he's been champion, but I think that was like 2016, 17. But he, you know, just kind of fell off there for a while. So this is a pretty big night for him. So if nothing else, I am happy for Jinder in that respect, but I think Drew, I don't think he necessarily needs the win, but in a way, maybe he does. So I think he wins here, and then they just kind of both move on. How about you?
Yeah. I mean, that's the easy answer, and I'm not saying that's the wrong answer. It's just painfully obvious, which scares me with these types of matches, that if that Jinder could win, extending the program another pay-per-view or so, with somebody else coming out and screwing over Drew, or Mahal getting a low blow behind the ref's back, or using a foreign object, something like that, that extends the program rather than Drew just going over clean, because this is their first match. So if it's their first match, there are very few that just go one and done. And so that this one scares me a little bit. I'm going to go, while I'm very conflicted on this, because I think Drew is the heavy, heavy favorite with good reason, I'm going to say Jinder Mahal, only because it's their first match. Vince knows that most people think that Drew is going to win. It's going to be by hook or crook. Jinder's going to cheat to win somehow, some way, and it'll end up in drawing more heat for Jinder, and then they can continue their program. They haven't even mentioned 3MB at all. Like you said, they're not drawing on their history. All you've heard from Drew is, I've known you a long time. Okay, well, tell us more about that. Like, we know, right. But give us the story. Why aren't we hearing?
You literally have footage.
Yeah. I mean, it's right there. I mean, I don't know why they're not drawing on that. They're just speaking in generalisms. But anyway, I'm going to say Jinder just for those two reasons of it being the first match where the heel typically gets the victory. And then you're going to have this program continue. I could also see Drew winning and then Jinder and Veer and Shanky coming down after the match and beating him into a pulp, continuing the program. Either way, I think this is not one and done. But I'm going to stick with Jinder Mahal. The one thing I'll say about Drew is that with Drew McIntyre and his stories, Drew is at least giving us stories that have substance to his character. He's not talking about ridiculous war generals. He's not talking about, the Loch Ness monster. He's giving us actual backstory to who he is. And if the sword named after his mother who had cancer, and he mentioned that, you know, the doctors told her to abort him, all this like really deep stuff. I mean, like, and I believe him. I don't think that's made up. Actually is relevant. So if he's going to do story time, I'm fine with story time, as long as it's not to try to be funny and entertain and come up with just wacky, zany war general stories that have no bearing on what we're talking about here. So Jinder wins.
Yeah, and just really quick before we move on, just to kind of piggyback on what you're just saying, I think Drew is one of those characters that doesn't really need to be a character. Like, I feel like the best version of Drew is the babyface Drew who's just real with the fans. And I feel like he just has that way of just, like, when he's, like, cutting a promo, especially in the ring, like, he just has a way that he makes you feel like he's actually talking to you, right? And not just, like, everyone. He just kind of, like, has a, just, like, that vibe and just that aura around him. And that's why I'm happy that he's away from the title picture for now, just to, so he doesn't have to constantly be losing or just going back and forth, you know, just not have so much focus on him, but in a way just kind of, like, let him rebuild and just let us, like, kind of, like, learn to, like, really, like, love him as a character again. And like you said, just like those stories, like, just more of that, and just, like, let us learn, like, the real him, and then it'll just be easy. He's just one of those characters that it'll be easy to like him.
Yeah, more. Definitely. And I think he got out of the title picture just in time as the fans were starting to get really fed up of
and they were
him.
Smart with that. They actually did that well.
Yeah, they did. And he teetered on turning heel by default. I mean, he was close. Yeah. Okay. Well, good. We're differing on these two matches. Next, Edge, Seth Rollins, which I believe could be the match of the night for good reason. I think Edge and Rollins styles, at least how I'm imagining it in my mind, although I haven't seen them wrestle, I feel like it would match up very well. Edge is in the best shape of his career, of his life, probably. Seth Rollins is, I think, really starting to peak again after being just in a really bad spot in his career, in an endless cycle of feuding with Rey Mysterio and the whole family, and losing to Kevin Owens at WrestleMania that one time. And, like, he's been in a bad spot for a while, and it seems like over the last several months, he started to finally climb out and climb out and climb out. And now he's starting to really feel who he is as a character in these just ridiculous outfits that are just so obnoxious, and he knows it. Just coming up, and every week I'm thinking to myself, no way he can top this outfit. And every week it just gets more and more obnoxious. He's kind of like a hybrid of the Messiah, but also who he was before Mr. Burn It Down, but also just Seth Rollins, like Seth freaking Rollins. I mean, so he's kind of a mix of several different versions of himself, and his music even kind of goes with that. So I'm looking forward to this. This is not an easy match to call. Edge has not got a big victory in a while since Randy Orton. Seth Rollins also needs that victory. This is tough. This is actually really, really hard. I'm going to say Edge, and then Seth beats him down in anger, continuing this program another month. That's what I think happens, because I think Edge needs that victory. I think the fans want that celebration with Edge that they haven't gotten yet, at least in 60,000 people capacity. So, yeah, Edge wins in what I expect to be a 15 to 20 minute excellent, excellent match.
Yeah, I'm actually right there with you on that one. I think it's going to go exactly like that. I think, excuse me, even down to the time, I could see easily 20 minutes between both of them, but I think Edge has to win this one a little bit more than Seth does, just because, like you mentioned, Edge hasn't really had that big win since he's come back this most recent time, so it's kind of like he just needs that. And then, like you said, it'll be so easy for Seth right after the match to, even if he wants to do like a fake like respect thing, like the whole handshake, and then beat him down afterwards or whatever, just something like that, just to prolong it. But I definitely don't see this being the final stop for these two, just because, not for nothing, like, what else would you do with them after that? I think they're going to kind of drag it out until maybe like the draft comes up, and then going to go from there. But yeah, I'm kind of going with you on this one, picking Edge to win, and then they just Rollins attacks after that, and they just prolong it and kind of go from there.
Yeah, I think it is that straightforward. I don't see any hanky panky, so to speak, in terms of who could interfere, who could mess up the Edge. Who, you know, I don't see any of that. You know, Seth Rollins has made it very clear that his mission is the Universal Championship. I know that Roman Reigns is the holder. We all know that. So heel versus heel doesn't make sense. So, if you're asking what he's going to do afterwards, well, Seth's not going to chase the championship until there is a babyface champion, or like you said, the draft comes along and things get mixed up. But yeah, this probably does go at least another month. Edge on a limited basis doing these matches probably does do two here and then takes a couple of months off and comes back for Survivor Series, whatever the case may be. So yeah, this should be great. I think Edge gets a spear, gets a victory, and then Seth in a just poor sport fashion gets his heat back with a beatdown. So all right, let's get to the Usos versus Rey Mysterio and Dominic for the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. Go ahead, Ashley.
Yeah, I think this is going to be another good match. I think this is going to be fun, and it's just so cool to think, of course, everyone knows now the story, but what year was it? Was it 2005 SummerSlam? The custody for the Battle of Dominic and the ladder match? I think 2005, yeah, around that time. But it's just so cool. Like, just that's like one of those things with wrestling, like just how fun it is to kind of look back and see the progression. But just to think of the custody of Dominic at one point being up for grabs at a SummerSlam, and now he's fighting with his father to become tag team champions again. It's pretty cool. So, yeah, but that all that aside, I think the Usos are retained here, and I think this may be another sign that Dominic is getting a little irritated with Rey. And I personally hope it eventually leads to the breakup and Dominic turning on Rey, because I think that'd be pretty fun. And what better opponent to have than your father, who's Rey Mysterio, right? To learn from and to like play off of. So I think that could be fun down the road. But yeah, long story short and quick answer, I'm going with the Usos to retain here. I think it's way too soon for the titles to come off of them, especially with how strong, of course they are with Roman, even though they've kind of distanced themselves lately, but it's too soon for them to lose the titles.
Yeah, definitely. With the momentum they have with Roman Reigns and the bloodline, no way. This one is a lock for me. It's not even, it's not even like, to me, a possibility. There's zero chance, and I don't say that often at all. There is zero chance of Rey Mysterio and Dominic winning. And of course, I'll eat my words. If I'm wrong, I don't think I am here. I think the Usos have to win this. It's not even a question. Like you said, though, the story is not who's going to win here. We know that. It's Dominic and Rey. And, you know, I'm with you on the possible breakup, which I think definitely would make Dominic's character infinitely more interesting than it is right now, which is just unwatchable, his character. Now, I'm not saying in-ring. In-ring, Dominic impressed a lot of people, including myself. In-ring, he is just fine. He's a chip off the old block. But when it comes to personality, the guy is so boring to listen to. And the way that Rey and Dominic talk to each other backstage, I've talked about this so many times on my show. It's so obnoxious. Yeah,
it really is.
Tell me I'm wrong. Who the hell talks to your mom or your dad or your brother or your sister and say, you know, you don't call them by their nouns. Like, you don't say, thank you, son. You know, no, he has a name that you gave him. Use it. I don't understand who's writing for them. It just comes off so unnatural. So if these two get into a program, yes, it'll knock another tag team out of an already painfully thin division of tag teams. But to me, it's worth that sacrifice to see this program, which to me, I'd be very interested to see how this goes. And if Dominic even brings up the custody thing, like you could do some stuff here where Dominic has some deep-seated hatred for Rey for what he did back, however many 15, 16 years ago now. There's some stuff you could pull from, and you always think you're right, Dad, but there's some good stuff here, and I think you could see the cracks form. I think that's the purpose of this match.
Yeah, and just thinking about it, like, I was just thinking, I wish Vicky wasn't with AEW right now, because if they were, and I know WWE won't because of PG and, you know, publicly traded company and all that, but they could so, like, really get deep into it. Like, Dominic could turn on Rey tomorrow night, and then they could follow it up on SmackDown, and he can explain, you know, like, you're not my real father. Like, they could play into the whole Eddie thing, like, just all this stuff. And, like, that's what I was saying with Vicky. Like, if she wasn't with AEW, like, she could do a cameo. Just, they could really, really delve deep into it if they wanted to. And even not get so crazy or so, you know, like, dramatic with it. But I just feel like they could. You know, they have so many options with this one. And you really... excuse me, don't get that many opportunities for something like this. So I wish they would, but I doubt that they will go that deep, if they even have them turn on each other at all.
Yeah, that's true, too. I mean, maybe this is just a simple Uso victory and that's it. I mean, it could just be that. I hope not. I hope it's not just about the Usos retaining and there's no further development. But yeah, there's some fun material that they could play with here, where Dominic has this just suppressed hatred for his father that we learn about over time. And like you said, the video of him in the custody battle and you used me as a pawn. And
that's why he doesn't wear his mask. Like, that's, you know, like Eddie, he could go into it.
There's so much you could do. So anyway, again, we're getting ahead of ourselves. They may just do nothing and then they hug each other and, you know,
misunderstanding, son.
Yeah, just a misunderstanding, pops, and you know, they make out and, you know, we're done. So it may just be the disgusting love fest that they have backstage every week and that's it. But okay. AJ Styles and Omos versus RK-Bro, the recently reunited RK-Bro for the Raw Tag Team Championship. I'll take this one first. I think this is fairly straightforward in terms of who's going to win, I think. I'm not 100% on this, but I feel fairly strong that it's RK-Bro who's going to win. I think WWE has realized, if they haven't already, that they have a lot of money that's waiting to be dropped from fans into their pockets for merchandise and everything else that goes with RK-Bro. We all know eventually one of them is going to turn on the other. It could be Riddle turning heel. It could be Orton turning heel eventually. But I hope it doesn't happen here. There's a case to be made, though, for it happening here, where Randy just pretended on Raw to reunite with Riddle and, you know, gives him a RKO and then punts him in the head and, you know, then truly turns heel. But we've seen that formula so many times from Randy. I mean, and WWE is a for-profit organization. Why would you not want the fans to buy this merchandise, which they are eager to do? They haven't got a good run yet. They have not got that good run. Randy went MIA, which we didn't get an explanation for 2 months, and we still didn't. And they just left that hole there, and we're all just supposed to fill it with, I guess, whatever we want of, oh, he was on vacation. Oh, he's hurt. He had COVID. Who knows? They never explained it. But I think this is an RK-Bro victory. The fans are going to be behind RK-Bro, I think, very solidly. And maybe AJ and Omos break up after this, and they, you know, there's some shoving, and maybe Omos shoves AJ to the ground, and that breakup starts as well. So yeah, that's my thought. What about you?
Yeah, I'm again pretty much right there with you on this one as well. I think it's all about RK-Bro tomorrow night, or Saturday night rather, and I think that it's just the beginning for Randy and Riddle. For me, I kind of wasn't feeling Randy. I got like the beginning of his, like the first night he returned, him playing it off or whatever. But from the jump, he was wearing their merchandise. Like, he was wearing the RK-Bro hoodie. Like, so it's like, how much do you really dislike him when you're wearing the merch already? So it was just like little things like that. And I'm happy they finally got to it, and they're gonna finally pull the trigger. And I'm pretty certain that they're gonna win the titles on Saturday, but it's going to be fun to see this version of Randy, I think, and just to see, like, how far he breaks and just the new kind of version of him going forward. Because who would have thought, like, we would be getting, like, not, like, a joking Randy Orton, but just someone that maybe or isn't as serious, or he's just letting someone in. It's just kind of weird, you know? I'm curious to see how it plays out long-term, and to see who ends up turning on them, on one another going forward. But I'm happy that Riddle is on TV and getting a spotlight, because I think Riddle is the future. I think just it's only a matter of time before, probably within, I would say, the next 2 years or so, that he's either Universal or WWE champion. I think after this, like, he's just really proving himself right now that he's multidimensional. And in a weird way, I think this is probably the best thing that could have ever happened for him. But yeah, like you said, with AJ and Omos, like, I don't know if they break up after this, but I don't know what more they could do, especially if they don't win the titles right back. And I think you may need AJ free going forward to maybe face Bobby in the future if he's going to remain champion, which he should. But yeah, I think it, or it almost can just be his bodyguard still going forward, but you kind of need AJ as a babyface if he's going to go against Bobby. So it's just kind of a weird thing there. But yeah, I think the focus right now is just on RK-Bro. And then everything else is kind of second and third.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And no, this is a team that you don't see this chemistry very often. I don't think they ever saw this and said, oh man, this is going to be great. I don't think they knew until they turned that red light on that, whoa, we have something here. And it's one of those deals that I think way overachieved what they thought they may have had. And they've stumbled into this RK-Bro, because I was not a fan of Riddle's personality until he met Randy Orton. And then things just a light bulb switch like hit for me. And I have loved everything that they've done together, a very few mishaps. And to me, seeing Randy in a different light, in a different way, where he acts a little bit different and it's another dimension to his character, I'm fine with it. You know, I'm more of the, I like serious guys that don't take everything lightly. But Randy Orton has been that guy for so long. I'm okay if he starts doing something different, and especially after the whole Fiend incident, where he was he burned somebody alive, and then Alexa Bliss is trying to kill him with scaffolding, and you know, it goes from that to kind of lightheartedness with Matt Riddle. And this to me is a tag team that, as you said, has a long run ahead of it. I hope they're not looking at it and thinking, oh well, let's just drop him with an RKO. No, I don't want to see Riddle versus Orton yet. It'll happen, but not yet, please. Because there is some magic here that does not happen often. Even more so doesn't happen in the tag team division, much less the singles division. So they've got something good here. The fans are going to be behind it. The Riddle is playing his role perfectly. Randy Orton is in turn also playing things very nicely. I don't know if it's the goatee or what it is, but Randy Orton has, I think, kind of gotten a breath of fresh air into his career, and it seems like he's having fun. So, yeah, you and I are together on this. RK-Bro wins the tag team championship, to the delight of the crowd, who will probably be cheering wildly when this happens.
Yeah, and Matt Riddle's from Vegas, or he's been living there for quite some time. So I think that'll just be another reason for them to kind of lose their mind for him, especially if they announce him from Vegas. So I think that'd be cool for him as well.
I forgot about that. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, no, that'll just add to the chaos. So mm-hmm. Yeah, this is going to be great, no doubt. All right. Okay, what do we get next? Oh, Sheamus and Damian Priest for the United States Championship match. Ashley, you mentioned earlier this is your sleeper. Go ahead.
Yeah, this one is, I think, top three that I'm really looking forward to. I just feel like it's going to be a really good, hard-hitting match, and I've just really been enjoying Sheamus as a whole lately for the past few months now. I just think everything that he's done, like, the matches have just been so solid, just so snug, and just so on point. And I think Damian Priest as well, like, I'm happy he's finally moved on from The Miz and Morrison and just kind of has that in the past. And I just really think that this is going to be, like, a breakout match for him, or it should be, and I hope it is. So I think this is it. Even though he had his moment at WrestleMania, I think this is, for him as an individual, I think this is the night that he needs, and this is obviously going to be would be the biggest night for him since he's been on the main roster. Like I said, even though he did have that moment at WrestleMania, but if he could win the United States Championship at SummerSlam, I think that's a pretty good moment, you know, and a lot of NXT call-ups don't really go well, so just to see him up here and surviving and just kind of thriving in a way, I think that's promising. So I think that's kind of why I'm excited too, that he's actually like doing well. And I think Sheamus is just a phenomenal, like the ideal opponent that you would need in that kind of situation for him. And just with their size and their similarity there, I think they're both going to want to go out there and try to steal the show, kind of like Seth and Edge with that mentality. So I think that's kind of why this could be a sleeper of the night too. But I think as much as I love Sheamus, I think Damian's going to win this one and bring the title home.
I'll second that. And as far as the match of the night goes, this definitely has sleeper on it, dark horse, whatever you want to label it as, it does. And the only concern I have is how much time Vince is going to give these guys. I'm concerned that it's going to be like an 8-minute match where they don't really get a chance or, you know, a fair opportunity to have a great match and things feel rushed. I hope that's not the case, but I could see where Vince kind of goes, this is something secondary. We don't need to give it a bunch of time. I hope they don't, because like you said, you talk about hard hitting. Sheamus's style has always been one of my favorites where he doesn't hold back. Like, I mean, whoever faces Sheamus, they're probably waking up the next morning, rolling out of bed and just groaning. I mean, he does not hold back. And I appreciate that. I really do. And in a safe way, too, obviously, not in a reckless, stiff way. And, you know, Damian Priest, I think the further he gets away from the Miz and Morrison, the better for his career. And every time I think he's gone, they somehow rubber band him back into the Miz and Morrison and stupid dripsticks and all that stuff. I don't think that does anybody any favors with that. And it seems like they have been intertwined for like 8 months since the Royal Rumble, really, is how long Damian Priest has been involved off and on with Miz and Morrison. So, him getting away from them, capturing the United States Championship, and Sheamus can go back into chase. This could be a really fun match, and I think Damian Priest does come out on top.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that one.
All right. Here we go. We're getting into some fun ones now. Some of the main events. Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks for the SmackDown Women's Championship. I'll let you take this one. I almost took it first, but I want to see what you have to say first.
Yeah, this one is tough. I'm kind of torn on this one, mainly because part of me thinks they're going to want to go for three, and you would need, Sasha to win to be able to go for three. So, part of me, that's why I'm thinking, like, they got to give it to Sasha on this one, and Sasha needs, you know, like, a good moment or whatever, but I think, I don't even know. As I'm about to say, I'm so torn on this one. But I think they're going to stick with Bianca. I think Bianca needs this a little bit more than Sasha does right now, even though I'd love to see Sasha win. I think they're going to solidify Bianca one more time here and have her go on and face whomever going forward. But Or they could try to go back to Sasha again. You know, Sasha can, you know, try to get a rematch out of it somehow. But I think with this, they're going to go with Bianca, even though it wouldn't surprise me if they put it on Sasha, because Bianca would get the big one at Mania, then Sasha could get the big one at SummerSlam, and then they could have the third match at whatever the next pay-per-view is, or if they want to wait until, like, Survivor Series or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. This one's really hard, but I think I'm going to stick with Bianca on this one.
All right. Well, I like that, because I'm going with Sasha Banks, not confidently. Yeah. Not confidently at all, and I'm not doing it just to contrast you. I actually do think it's a tough call. It's like 51-49 here, and I think Sasha Banks does capture it. And there's a couple reasons. I think that as good as Bianca Belair has done it, I think she's done a phenomenal job at what she's been presented as champion, and her presence. She feels like a champion. She doesn't feel like unfortunately Rhea Ripley did after winning at WrestleMania. She feels legitimate. She feels comfortable. She's established in a role that is understandable. You know, she's likable, where Rhea Ripley was off on. You don't know where she is. Why does she deserve this at all? No one even rebelled against the fact that Rhea came in and just decided, yeah, I'm going to be in the main event. And then they went from heel to face to heel to face. Bianca has not done that. She has been on a very easy to understand path. And I've mentioned this several times, but it's still, to me, strikingly amazing, is that you took a completely arrogant character saying you're the EST of everything and made it somehow endearing. I mean, that's genius. I don't know how they've done that. It's a credit to Bianca herself, for sure. But I think that she's had a nice run. And so I'm giving my reasons why I think Sasha's going to win. Bianca has had a run from Mania to SummerSlam, and every time Mania comes around, I say when they're going to do a title change, make it at least to SummerSlam, because that will tell you that that it's at least somewhat meaningful, that they got a little bit of time and at least a somewhat significant run, enough to kind of test the water, so to speak, and see if they are a true champion. And Bianca is a true champion. She feels it through and through. So I think Bianca, you know, has had a nice run, but she has a really good dance partner in Sasha Banks. Really good. They arguably had the best match of the entire pay-per-view at WrestleMania. Not just that night, the entire pay-per-view, both nights. They killed it. And if they want another match, then yeah, Sasha should win here. And then have Bianca have her rematch at the next pay-per-view, and then you get the trio of matches, and you're done, and they can move on to whatever brand that they're drafted to. So I think Sasha wins here, and I don't know if I would think it's going to be something underhanded with her hair, because as she mentioned on SmackDown, her hair that she used to whip Sasha Banks at WrestleMania, and then she used it again on SmackDown last week to put the bank statement on her. They still have one more show to go on Friday night, so we'll see what happens there. But with Sasha Banks being able to kind of do a tit-for-tat thing here, I think Sasha Banks does use the hair of Bianca somehow, some way, to gain an unfair advantage and win the SmackDown Women's Championship. So that's my logic.
Okay, no, I would not be surprised, and part of me was torn. Like I said, I really wanted to go that route, but I don't know. I just have a weird feeling that Bianca's going to pull it out, but again, I would be happy with Sasha doing it so they can extend this, because just like you were saying, Sasha's just that champion, and Sasha just, you know, it'd be a good way to extend it, and I think Bianca could easily bounce back from that, so we'll see.
No, absolutely. And I again, on the flip side, Bianca, certainly she could win and I'd have no problem. This one is almost a win-win, because I don't whoever cool. wins this, it makes sense, and you could go a lot of different ways. So this is if I was booking, this is actually kind of an easy match to book, because it doesn't matter who wins. They're both great choices. So, all right, here we go. Last three matches. Nikki A.S.H. versus Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley in a triple threat Raw Women's Championship match. I will take this one first. I'm not even going to go into Nikki A.S.H. You've heard it. I've said it way too many times about why I cannot stand her character. If people love it because of the saturating positivity just oozing out of her pores, more power to you. It's not my thing. I expect, as far as match quality goes, I expect a really good match here. Nikki, as much as I despise her character, is a really good worker. Charlotte, we know what we got here. We've got a walking, breathing Hall of Famer on 2 feet here. Rhea Ripley is likely a Hall of Famer in training. She's got a long way to go here, but as far as not just in ring, but her personality and kind of her, I don't think she knows exactly what she is yet, and I don't know if that's due to creative or herself or a mix of both. She's only like 24 years old. It's crazy how young she is. I expect a really good match. I expect some awesome near falls. I expect a lot of Becky chants throughout this match, honestly, yeah. Because I think even though Becky's not in this match, I think she will be the biggest star, even though she's not advertised, never mentioned. The fans are just waiting for Becky here, and so you're going to hear a lot of Becky chants, but hopefully those kind of wane away during the match, and you give the women the respect they deserve here, and I think they'll do it. I think they will earn the respect of the fans during the match, put on some great near falls. Ultimately, I think Charlotte Flair will win. That's my pick. I think Charlotte Flair will win the Women's Championship only to have Becky Lynch either come out at the end to stare down Charlotte or knock her down, or returns on the Monday Night Raw after this pay-per-view, because I think Becky is an inch away from returning here. So your thoughts?
Yeah, so you're saying that you think Becky's going to return maybe on Monday, this coming Monday?
Either at the end of this match, mm-hmm. Where Charlotte's holding up the championship, yeah. And then okay. Maybe cuts a promo about everyone needs to bow down, and she just proved herself, all that kind of stuff. And then mm-hmm. You hear Becky's music hit, and she stares down Charlotte, maybe, you know, hits a move or two, and Charlotte retreats, and the yeah. crowd loses their mind. Or returns on the Monday Night Raw after. One of the two. I think she is this close.
Yeah, no, that's what I was saying. I agree with you again, yeah. Hate to agree with you again, but hopefully that means we're right and it's going to happen, right? But, I see Charlotte winning again. I'm not going to go into the whole Nikki A.S.H. thing as well, or A.S.H., whatever, because it's just a whole other, I feel, podcast in and of itself, and just episode, because it's just mind-numbing, and I try to appreciate it for what it is and understand, but it's irritating after a while, so it's just having the reverse effect on me. But
I want to hear what the crowd does to her. I want to hear what 60,000 people do to Nikki, because they started to turn on her this week.
Yeah, and you know, like, the first couple weeks, right, you try to be respectful, and it's not Nikki herself, like, as the person, right, like, and that's right. Why, part of me, I hate to, and I wasn't going to get into it, but I feel like I have to say this, like, it's not her as a human being, right, and as a person, and I respect the idea, right, like, if I was her, like, you do what you gotta do when you're in that situation to come up with ideas to be on TV, right, and she did it. Whatever you gotta say, she did it, right, she's the champion, she's on TV, she's on SummerSlam, like, she's doing it, right, it's not my cup of tea, but it's like, again, it's like you're going to wear the crowd out. It's going to get to a point where even if she retains the championship and goes on and continues the whole positivity thing, like, you're going to push people too far with it, and it's going to pull too thin, you know, and they're just not, you know, not turn completely, but I feel what may be worse is just not respond at all, you know, because they don't want to be rude to her. Because I can't boo Nikki, like, you know, it's just one of those weird things, but yeah, I'm right there with you. I feel Charlotte's going to win this, and I think Becky's going to be one of, like, the top moments of the night, if not the moment of the night. I think she's got a return here. I think she's going to be radio silent this time. I don't think she's going to drop any clues like she did on Twitter for, I think it was when they were in Texas. Mm-hmm. She took a picture outside of the building or whatever. I don't think it's going to be any of that. I think it's just going to be silent, and then her music hits for pretty much exactly what you're saying. Either Charlotte's going to cut a promo or just be standing there celebrating, whatever. And then I think she's kind of got to have to cut a promo, right, for Becky to interrupt, just so she can just be bragging, something like that. And then Becky come out then. But I think with everything going on in the wrestling world right now, you have to have, like, they need a big moment. And yeah, Roman and Cena's going to be a big match, but I think that you just need, like, your specific comeback, right? Like, your moment of the weekend. And I think Becky could be that. So if she's ready and willing, why not at this point, right?
Right. For us common folk that aren't attending the AEW event, this could be our moment of the night, moment of the weekend. Yeah. You know, for the rest of us peasants. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I think it could be. And you're going to hear right from the get-go, you're going to hear Becky chant. And maybe even they're all staring each other down at the beginning of the match, you're going to hear Becky. I mean, it's inevitable. The fans know it's right around the corner. They need to pull the trigger. I think they will. It's a matter of, do you want to do it in front of 60,000 people or do it the Monday Night Raw after? You know, I think they'll probably do it on Saturday night just to get her back, get a buzz going. You have 60,000. You know? Yeah, exactly. And the last thing I'll say about Nikki's character, everybody's heard everything I've had to say, but one thing that maybe, I don't know, Ashley, if what you agree with me on, maybe not, they could keep Nikki the exact same character, but this is a character that will naturally turn her heel. Because somebody that is this positive and this just overly sickeningly happy about everything is eventually going to wear thin, and it's already started. And she could just keep this. It could be a success as a heel character because you could just start talking. Nikki could just start saying, you know, no matter what happens to her, she's always positive, and just it's her confidence that gets her through whatever. Right. I mean, so and she could say, you know, I'm not like these people. I actually believe in myself. And she could just be overly obnoxious and still be that almost a superhero character. But she's now starting to just, you know, talk down on the crowd. Like, you could keep this as a heel character. I think you could.
I think, to me, once she gets to that point, and regardless of how quickly that is, and like you said, it looks like it may be coming sooner rather than later. I think she, for me, and for whatever reason, that version of her that I see is DDP when he first joined WWF. I think it was like 2001, right after they bought WCW. I don't know if you remember, but he was like positively Paige. Like, yes. His big thing was like, I forget the line, but it was like, it was just positivity, like, and he was, that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing, like, that was his line, right? And, like, just everything was so annoyingly positive, and his smile with his big, bright teeth, like, just, like, he was just annoying.
Then he started, stalking the Undertaker's wife or something in a parking lot. Yeah,
exactly, yeah. But he was just, like, that overly positive guy. I was just, like, just shut up, like, we get it, dude, like, you're happy, like, who knew that was just, like, an exaggerated version of himself. But, you know, like, it's just, I think that she could kind of go that route and just kind of make it more, like, a little bit more obnoxious. But, yeah, like, I'm right there with you. I think she could totally just twist that when she needs to.
Yep. And I can't wait to hear what the crowd does to her on tomorrow night. Yeah, on Saturday
too.
Night. Can't wait. Okay, let's move on. Two more matches here. Bobby Lashley versus Goldberg, WWE Championship match. I really don't have much to say about this, honestly. Even though it's a semi-main event, I don't have much to say. We know what we're going to get. It's going to be a 5 minutes or less of spear, jackhammer, spear, maybe a clothesline thrown in for good measure. And it's really a shame because of how good Bobby Lashley is in the ring that he is limited by the limitations of Goldberg here. I mean, it's not Bobby Lashley holding things back. It's Goldberg holding things back. I hope Goldberg gets booed out of the building. I don't think he will because for some reason fans seem to keep cheering him. It's really astounding to me why they're cheering for a 50-some-year-old man that comes in. Every time he comes in, he's awarded a championship match because why? We don't know. And Bobby Lashley, to me, is doing a good job as champion. He's not blowing me out of the water, but he's doing a good job, good enough to move on from Goldberg. I think if Goldberg wins here, the fans are going to lose their minds, and not in a good way. Even though they'll cheer for him during his entrance because his entrance is fun, I think the reality will set in that, wait a minute, he just beat Bobby Lashley. A 50-some-year-old part-timing limited wrestler has just ended the streak of Bobby Lashley. I think it will, and the fans will turn on that, hopefully. But my pick is still Bobby Lashley to retain. I know that there is actually a sad case to be made for Goldberg winning here, but I think Bobby Lashley retains, and hopefully he retains, and Goldberg goes back into his, I don't know, MMA training or whatever, jiu-jitsu, whatever the hell he's doing.
Hibernation.
Yeah, just go back into hibernation. I'm done with this. I'm done with it, and I'm just going to stop there. What do you think?
Yeah, dude, again, I have to agree with you on this one. And you know, I'll start with the crowd, because I think at this point, especially with the lack of time that we've had to cheer really anything, I think the reason he gets such a good response is because, first of all, with the entrance, it's just fun to cheer anything in WWE at this point, because we really don't have that, like, they, like, any entrances, like, they've always tweaked them, right? Like, Nakamura, as they changed his so we couldn't sing, and of course it's going heel, but it's just like the little things like that that they just kind of strip. So I think, like, with Goldberg, right, it's just one of those things that's just kind of fun to chant. And, like, he's kind of, like, the last, one of the last stars that we really have to cheer as, like, a whole. I guess it's, like, the, I don't even want to say it, the WWE universe, right? But, like, as, like, the fans, like, I think that's kind of, like, pretty much it's him, Lesnar, Cena, and Randy, but Randy's still, I would call him full-time still, so he's kind of not at that point yet. But, like, star-wise, that's pretty much, and then you can't even really count The Rock, so that it's pretty much it, right? So I think that's kind of, like, the reason he just kind of gets that built-in response. But yeah, dude, I'm over it as well. I think it would be much different if he was coming back and not getting a title shot every time. Because, again, why is he getting a title shot? Like, it's just, none of it makes sense, besides he's just an easy option, right, to throw in there. So it's just, again, another one of those things. I don't see him winning here, though. And if he does, I will actually be pretty surprised, just because I don't see any reason for them to ruin a good thing with that they have going with Lashley and MVP right now. Unless for whatever reason they were putting in on Goldberg, like if Brock was coming back, but I don't see why that would be like a big deal to them. So I don't see them taking it off of Lashley right now. I think it's just going to be another one of those matches. And then Goldberg comes in. Like you said, they do their best of hits. Excuse me. And then Goldberg's gone for a few more months until whatever the next pay-per-view is that they need him for. So, yeah. And I think Lashley's going to get a dominant victory here. And then that's what I was thinking about going forward, is like who Lashley would face next. So that's why I was thinking earlier, maybe AJ, if they kind of tweak that. But it'll be interesting to see what they do with Lashley going forward, if and hopefully when he retains on Saturday.
Yeah, I don't know who his next opponent is. Whoever it is automatically five times better than Goldberg as champion. So, I mean, I don't care who it is. I mean, I don't care if it's R-Truth. Who, I really don't care. And it's not, I'm not trying to disrespect Goldberg as a person. Like, it's just, it doesn't fit right now, especially in today's environment. It's not going to help Bobby Lashley get over anymore. It's nothing more than Vince trying to put as much star power on the card as possible. From what I understand, Bill Goldberg's contract has two matches a year for I don't know how many more years. Hopefully this is it. I doubt it. But I understand it from a business perspective. But yeah, from a wrestling fan's perspective, this is nonsense. This is garbage. This is disrespectful, and it's entitlement as well with Goldberg. But, I mean, Goldberg's kind of like if you're going to play video games, you're playing 2K, whatever, or No Mercy, whatever. You start with, like, you know, 18 – you start with, like, three finishers stored so you can, like, hit a finisher right off the bat. Like, right, that's Goldberg. Like, the right. Goldberg is an 8-year-old boy playing a wrestling video game.
And hit the same three moves.
Yeah. It's exactly what Goldberg is. He's controlled by some 8-year-old kid, you know, in his living room. Like, that's exactly what he is. And he's never been a technical wrestler. That's fine. You know, I'm not knocking him for that. It's just, it doesn't fit today. And I don't know. So anyway, Bobby Lashley hopefully retains, but I could see a path in which Goldberg does win here, and I'm scared. I really am. So,
yeah.
All right. Roman Reigns and John Cena for the Universal Championship match in the main event. Ashley, you go first.
I will admit I am a little underwhelmed with the buildup to this, and I think that's, I honestly, looking back on it, I think that may be why my feelings for SummerSlam are a little off this year, just because I personally had a lot of interest and excitement for the verbal exchanges, right? And the buildup going into Reigns and Cena going into the match. So I just, the last week's confrontation between the two of them just didn't really hit it off for me. Like, I think, and more so Cena, rather. I wanted the serious Cena. And, like, last week, like, pretty much, like, what other people have said as well, like, what he's saying just doesn't make sense. Like, that's not this version of Roman Reigns. Like, Roman Roman is what we look forward to, even though we don't like him. Like, Roman is, like, legit, like, the best thing going in WWE right now. He is the head of the table. Like, he is the guy. Like, he's the reason SmackDown does so well number-wise. And, like, I would love to see if he was on Raw what the numbers would be, like, consistently, you know? So what Cena's saying doesn't make sense. And I think, for me, like, the first, like, half of last week just didn't make sense. And then the whole 1-2-3 thing, I got it the first time, right? Like, obviously it makes sense. You just need a three count. But, like, the second, third, fourth time, like, okay. Like, it was just kind of like, because it wasn't, like, a clever or, like, a catchy thing. Like, you're, I don't know. It just didn't hit right with me. But I loved Roman's demeanor with it. I just loved how Roman just stood there and he's just playing it off like he doesn't care. Like, he knows what Cena is saying doesn't make sense and is not true. And he is the man. So in a way, like, it's kind of having the adverse affection, like, or reaction on me, because, like, I was excited for Cena coming back. Like, I had always been recently, the last few years that he was active, like, full time, I was over him, right? Like, the Super Cena thing, like, I was done with Cena. And then I was one of those people who started to miss him, right? And now he's back. And I think for me, I just expected a little bit more, just a little bit more seriousness. So I'm interested to see, like, what the go home show will be and all that. And if they're going to have, like, that serious last minute, like, face to face. But I think this again will be probably the match of the night, just hype wise. And just, I think this is going to be a good match and it's going to deliver. But, and of course my official pick is Reigns retaining here, but I don't know, with all this talk with Cena and WWE wanting to put, you know, the title on just to make him the 17th time to get back at Rick and all that nonsense. I mean, they're petty, but do you think they're that petty? Because Cena's not even going to be around. And the only way I could even think that would happen, right, is if, for whatever reason, if it's like a quick distraction or Cena does something crazy or roll up or whatever, Cena gets the victory, Big E comes out, cashes in, wins the title. That would be the only thing that I could see. Like, so that way they can, like, officially say Cena's the 17-time champion. He's more than Ric Flair, all that nonsense. But Big E's the champion now. And then we have Roman chasing Big E going forward. So that would be the only variation that I would see. But if it's just a regular night, Roman retains, Cena, I don't even know how much longer we have Cena. But I think Cena, in my opinion, may have a match with, like, Finn or something and then be out. But, yeah, I don't think Cena's going to win here. What about you?
No, I'm still in the camp of Roman Reigns here. I'm still of the belief that Roman Reigns will come out on top. And I don't see a need to stop it dead in its tracks for a part-time movie guy now. And I'm not knocking him, because The Rock did the same thing. Hell, I said this before. If you can make millions of dollars by not throwing your body at the ground, you know, 8 days a week, more power right to you. You know, good for him. You know, that's just the role that he's in now. And I don't see a case to be made for John Cena to win just to, what, say John Cena, just to break Ric Flair's record. That's, to me, more than secondary. That's not even, that shouldn't even be a part of the discussion, because the focus here isn't on John Cena. It's on Roman Reigns's continuing just brilliance of being the Universal Champion and all the value and prestige he's added to that championship just by holding it for a better part of a year now, almost exactly a year. He came back now as a heel. I think what's going to happen in this match, Roman Reigns retains, but I think the way he retains is maybe by Finn Balor somehow interjecting himself into this, perhaps. You know, I don't know for sure, but I don't see, let me say this. If you don't see Finn Balor on SmackDown this week, look out, because I think Finn Balor disappearing the last 2 weeks, if that's the case, would be a cause for concern that he's going to inject himself into the interfere on behalf of Roman Reigns to screw over John Cena, because he has a bone to pick with John Cena. John Cena is the one that took the contract from him, not directly. Baron Corbin tried first, but John Cena didn't come in and say, hey, Corbin, this is Finn's contract. I'm going to do the hustle, loyalty, and respect thing, and I'm going to give the contract back to the guy who, you know, whose name is on the damn thing. And there was never any explanation of how it's actually legal that you can sign someone else's contract. At least they acknowledged it. And even Paul Heyman said, you know, can I sign someone's multimillion-dollar contract? No. But Adam Pearce looked at it and goes, looks good enough to me. You know, apparently that's just a legal settlement. You just ask Adam Pearce and he just goes, yep, looks good. Whatever. I mean, it's pro wrestling contract signing. It's whatever. So I think Roman Reigns retains in some kind of wacky way. I know that, of course, you have the Usos floating out there as they always are to help Roman, and they might. And John Cena will probably thwart them, I would think. So Finn Balor having a bone to pick with John Cena is a potential dark horse here. Do you see that being the case?
Yeah, I do. I really do. And that's why I'm kind of a little uncertain when it comes to that, but just because do you know how long we have Cena after SummerSlam? Like,
that's the thing.
Yep, you know?
Yep. From what I understand and what I saw was that he's going to be on the SmackDown after SummerSlam, but I haven't heard anything beyond that, which does certainly skew our decision here, right? So,
right.
Yeah, because if he's here for longer, then Finn Balor interferes, you got a match with these two. If not, then I would say it's a straight up no interference. Roman Reigns just beats John Cena, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So and that's kind of what I'm leaning more towards there. Yeah. Just no interference, just straight up. Or if anything, like Heyman tries to, you know, do some type of distraction, but no Finn or anything like that. That's just kind of how I see it ending. But, and that's why I was thinking if anything, I would see maybe Big E trying to cash in.
Yep.
But I don't, if Roman's going to win, I don't see Big E cashing in. And I kind of like, a part of me kind of like has this weird feeling that Big E may try cashing in on Lashley. Cause I don't kind of put him back with New Day as well. And kind of, they can kind of like cheat their, you know, their rules with that and kind of get them back on the same show, especially since we're in front of fans and all that good stuff. So part of me would kind of see them going that route with Big E, but if I don't know, crazy things happen. So really quick before we move on, do you think Cena's ever going to get to 17, or do you think he's going to be stuck at 16?
I think he will get to it. I just don't. I think it'd be at WrestleMania and maybe in a heel role. I want to see Cena in a heel role before he finally does truly call it quits. And I want him to brag about the fact that he broke Ric Flair's record, you know, at WrestleMania or whatever, whoever he beats, I don't know, but it should be in a heel role because I don't think fans would cheer for that. With the respect that Ric Flair has among fans, that John Cena as a part-timer comes back and, you know, all the fans are supposed to go, yay, you won. Like, no, that's a heel accolade to brag about. That's not a babyface thing to talk about. You know, only heels really talk about how many times they've won championships, typically, in a very arrogant way. So I think that it's going to be in a heel role at WrestleMania or another big pay-per-view. It doesn't have to be WrestleMania. That's my thought. What about you?
Cool. Yeah, no, I didn't really necessarily think the heel route. I think in this alternate reality, I kind of feel like if we ever do get to the point where it's like WWE actually views AEW as like real competition, I feel like that's kind of what they would keep in like their back pocket type thing, and like pulling like the Cena heel turn, because I think equivalent to like Hogan with WCW, like, or at least like I think that's the impact that they would try to have it feel like and come off as. So I didn't necessarily think about that for the 17th reign, but I could totally see that playing out. But I think for something like that, you would need to have Cena for at least, like, I would say a year. Maybe not full time, but no, like, I'll be here for, like, 2 months and then gone for, like, 8-9 months. Like, he would need to be committed, you know? And I don't know scheduling-wise if he would be able to, but or maybe not. Maybe a year is a little long, but I just feel like something for that dramatic and that like impactful, which it would be, you know, hopefully they do what they're supposed to do and play it out correctly. But man, you could get so much out of that very easily, you know, because just imagine him on the mic bragging about that. Just not even having to go back to like the Thugonomics role, but just like in general, just talking and bragging about it, you know?
Oh, no. I don't want the Dr. Thugonomics. That's an entertaining babyface character. I want to see what John Cena looks like as a heel. And I think that he knows that people want to see it. He's mentioned it on air how many times? And, you know, this past week when he's talking to Roman Reigns, and it, like you said, it was not a good promo in terms of John Cena standards. It was not, you know, a mic drop moment, even though he tried to make it one. And him talking about how, you know, Dean Ambrose left because of you and Seth Rollins. I'm like, what are you talking about? Nothing. You had nothing to do with Dean Ambrose leaving.
Right, that's, yeah,
it didn't
exactly.
make sense. It just to what, be shocking and say, Dean, oh, you said Dean Ambrose's name on WWE TV. I guess
at least
that,
say John
yeah.
Moxley, bro.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
come
really.
Come on, if we're going to try to be edgy, like, come on.
Yeah, I know. And so I that made no logical sense at all. I'm like, no, Roman had nothing to do with Dean Ambrose being run out of WWE, and he didn't have any adverse effect on Seth Rollins' career. He's stretching. He's trying to be controversial yeah. with no controversy there. It was just not a good John Cena promo. In terms of, especially from the first time that they went face to face with the infamous War of Words in 2017, that was a knock your socks off, embarrassing moment, but brilliant
oh my
moment.
Gosh, yes.
It was. It's still uncomfortable to watch, even 4 years later.
It
it's still
you feel
a
bad
second,
for Roman. It's like, God, just get him out of the ring. Like, just make it
I'm
stop.
Embarrassed for him every time yeah. I watch it. So, you know, I guess with the standards being that high and John Cena not coming through. It was kind of like a, oh, and then he repeated the constant, oh, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And it probably sounded better on paper than when he executed it. Because I'm thinking to myself, did I just have deja vu? He just said this like 5 times. I get it, you know? So
exactly.
It was not a good John Cena promo, but they still have a week or a show anyway until the pay-per-view. So maybe they do have a little bit more of a war of words. And Roman Reigns acknowledged, hey, verbal jousting isn't my game. And it's not. So he acknowledged, Mr. Acknowledgement here, acknowledged mm-hmm. that the fact that he's not a good verbal jouster. And, you know, hey, I think he's doing just fine. And I'm looking forward to this match. And, yeah, Roman Reigns hopefully retains. Hopefully it's a retaining night on the Universal and WWE Championship end. So, all right. Well, Ashley, is there anything else? Any other? Oh, well, let me ask this final question. Does Brock Lesnar return?
On SummerSlam or
yeah. or the Monday Night Raw after, like any time in the next few days.
Yeah, man, I don't know, and it's so weird to think like how long we've gone without Lesnar. It's just, I don't know, but I think ever since I saw Ponytail Brock, I think he's living his best life. So I don't think we're gonna see him until next year. I think we're gonna hold out until the Royal Rumble and have a surprise return there, a surprise entrant, and kind of go from there. So I'm going to say no. I think our surprise of the weekend, if we get one for WWE, is going to be Becky Lynch
yeah.
at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think there's a small chance that it happens, but people are talking about WrestleMania, Brock versus Bobby. But I don't know if Bobby's going to maintain this level of momentum, and there's still 8 months until the next WrestleMania. Like, that's a long time. That's a right. long time to go from, you know, SummerSlam to WrestleMania, and also having him retain the championship through there. I mean, that's a lot to ask. So I don't know. I'd say no. I wouldn't put out of the realm of impossibility, but I think Becky Lynch is going to be the star return of the night. No doubt about it. I think you don't want to dilute that down with Brock Lesnar also returning. I think it should be about Becky Lynch tomorrow or Saturday night in a big way. So, all right. Well, Ashley, we are excited for you to go to Rampage tomorrow night. I know this is going to be one of those moments, as WWE likes to make sure you know it's a moment. Hopefully they won't tell you it's a moment. You'll just, you know, organically know, because, you know, we have right. brains. We'll just know that this is a moment instead of being told it. But it's going to be, I think you're going to listen to one of the loudest pops you'll probably ever hear in your entire life. There is no scenario set up that I can think of that would design a bigger pop than CM Punk returning after 8 years in his hometown. So,
Yes.
So enjoy it. And I'm sure you will have I'm glad we're not doing the podcast the day after, because you won't have a voice, I'm guessing.
Oh, not at all. If it goes well, not at all. And I hope not. So, yes, though, but thank you. I am so stoked. I'm so, so lucky. I'm just so happy. Like, everyone, like, the world is in such like a better place, and we're just able to do stuff like this again. But yeah, man, I'm just happy for all of us. Like, we're finally getting what we want, you know. It's just kind of crazy to think like it's not in WWE and it's a completely different company, and like, who would have thought this even 3 years ago, right? So it's just fun. It's just a fun time to be a wrestling fan in general. So I'm excited for all of us as a whole for the next few months coming up.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. And then you get right through to Survivor Series, and then you get, you're thinking Rumble already, and it's just this cycle of being a wrestling fan. And right now, there is no better time with all these returns coming. Becky Lynch and CM Punk and Edge is having his matches, and Brock Lesnar's floating out there, and The Rock's rumored to come back in Survivor Series. Yeah, Bryan Danielson, The Rock. I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, look where we were a year ago compared to now, and it's an awesome time to be a fan. So, Ashley, before you go, is there any you have Twitter, right? So let everyone know where they can follow you.
Yeah, for sure. It's at @ashmanns.
Awesome. Well, make sure you share your experience on Twitter. I'm sure people will be wondering, you know, what your view is, where your seats are, and that kind of thing. And I'll be very interested to hear your reaction to what transpired or what maybe didn't. God help us.
Oh,
so.
If not, I may need some assistance getting home from Chicago because it may be a problem.
Absolutely. So, Ashley, thanks so much. Enjoy your trip. We're all jealous, and we'll be talking very soon.
Sounds good. Thank you, Matt. Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
Bye.